The portion today starts with the Yerdeber Adonai al Moshe Lemor, which in English is Adonai spoke to Moses saying. Now, in some ways, these few words don't make my life too easy. And I'll tell you why. It's because I roll the scroll each week to the Torah portion. And that phrase begins a lot of Torah portions, but it's also in a lot of different places. So it's like roll. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, no, it's not that one. Roll. And you can come, and you know, you come towards that a lot. And it's roll and stop and see. Is this the one? Is the reference? No, keep going. And you know, it'd just be so much easier if I put little page numbers on the bottom or something. But that's not the way it is. Now, there's another reason that these words are actually really good and very important. Now, I know, yes, it's because Adonai says, and everything that Adonai says is important, but also because of what these words should mean to us, because they have a meaning. Just these words, V'yidber Adonai el Moshe l'mor, just these words, Adonai spoke to Moses saying, because they have a meaning. They actually are the start of a process that people think of as witnessing to others and telling others of Adonai and about Yeshua. Everything that we do is actually a witness of who we are and what and who we believe in. Our actions alone should be and are a witness. But the words that we use behind them, behind this witness of action, gives even more power to our witness. We're told in the New Covenant to go out and tell others, which we'll touch on in a moment or two. But the question is, did witnessing start with the New Covenant? Because a lot of people think so. This thing that people call witnessing, people think of as a New Covenant thing, but actually has been around for as long as the words of Adonai have been. We know that there's really nothing new in the New Covenant. And witnessing is the same. It's not new, and it is found in the Old Covenant. When you hear the word witness, you might think of someone who sees something, something shocking or something important in their life, and they need to share it or have a testimony. So if someone sees a crime or something, they go to court and they witness about it. They tell about it because it was something that, you know, probably is pretty important. They've never seen that kind of thing before. Well, within Scripture and in our lives, it's the same thing. We can say that to be a witness is basically being one who sees something important and amazing, then going to tell others about it. In the same way, to be a prophet meant to live as a witness to the people of God about God's intentions so that they become a witness to the nations. The entire salvation plan of God is based on telling the story of his goodness to others. People think that prophets only delivered bad news, but actually, they wanted to let people know of God's love for them and to keep them from harm and to help them head away from the actions that they were heading towards that were going to be bad for them, their actions and their attitudes that they would have. Now, in Leviticus, there's a passage, there's a verse that's about being a witness in a case where justice was being decided. But that is very equitable to being a witness of salvation as well. Leviticus 5:1. If a soul sins after hearing a charge of an oath, and he is a witness whether he has seen or otherwise known. If he fails to report it, then he will bear his guilt. What's going on here? Wait a second. Let me get there. There we go. If you know the truth in a trial case, and if you don't tell it, then you are the one who bears the guilt. Adonai told something similar to Ezekiel in chapter 3, Ezekiel 3, starting in 17. Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, that wicked person will die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from your hand. Yet you, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So we have the words of Leviticus that tells us that if we have the words to witness and withhold the truth, it's a sin. And then we have the words of Ezekiel that are very similar. These words were given to the prophet who has been told that he was being told the truth. And if he didn't share it, then the blood of the lost person would be on them. We also have been told the truth, and we are to be, and we are not to be excluded from that warning because someone has not labeled us as a prophet. We may not be biblical prophets, but we have heard from Adonai a truth that must be shared. And if we do not, then what? Well, we're told the blood would be on our hands, but what does that mean? Matthew 10:32, starting there. Therefore, whoever acknowledges me before men will also acknowledge him, or I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Those are the words of Yeshua. If you deny Yeshua, he'll deny you before the Father. Now, denying Adonai or denying Yeshua is more than just saying a lie about him. For example, a truth not spoken really is just another way of lying. Some say, I didn't lie, I just didn't tell the whole truth. I left something out. That's a lie. Not telling others of the love and mercy from Adonai through Yeshua is actually lying if you know the truth already. And if you leave it out when you speak to them. Now, I'm not saying every time you speak to them, but every opportunity you have, you should be speaking the truth. That's your call. So Moses was actually a great witness for Adonai. We may have all already knew that, but maybe we didn't think of it that way in terms of being a witness. I'm going to show you two examples of Moses as a witness for Adonai. The first, Moses heard the word of Adonai and passed them along to the people of Israel. We see this example in Exodus 19. Among others. I'm going to read Exodus 19:3 and then skip down to 7. Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, say this to the house of Jacob, and tell B'nai Israel. And then he told him what to say, skipping down to 7. So Moses went, called for the elders of the people, and put before them all these words that Adonai had commanded him. With the words that Adonai spoke to Moses, and with Moses passing on the words to the people, It was the start of and an example of witnessing to others. Moses witnessed to Israel by telling them what Adonai had said to him and to pass on. Now, the second example, Moses actually did witness directly to individuals. You may not have realized it. Moses did speak to people, but also to individuals. We see it as when the people were about ready to go out for the first time with Adonai, we read in Numbers 10 this account, starting in 10:29. Moses said to Hodab, son of Raul, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out to the place about which Adonai said, 'I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good to you, because Adonai has spoken goodness to Israel.' But he said to him, 'I will not go, because I would rather go to my own country and to my own people.' But he said, 'Do not leave us now, because you know where we should camp in the wilderness. You can be like eyes to us. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good Adonai gives to us.'" Moses says to Hodab to come with them because Adonai has promised goodness to Israel. Moses heard Adonai. He seen the hand of Adonai in action for Israel and wanted his friend, his family member, his brother-in-law, to be in the promised land as well. Hodab wanted to go back to his old life, to his people, but Moses knew he'd be lost if he did. He witnessed to him about Adonai, and in this way was able to save him. We read later on that the Midianites were in the promised land. So although we may not be told that we see the proof. Because the Midianites were in the promised land, that's the proof that he did go with Adonai and did go with Moses. Now, in the same way, prophets were witnesses when they were shown things by Adonai and then went and told others what they had seen. We see this in Jeremiah as an example. When he was a young man and he was just called by Adonai, he was given two visions. In the first chapter, we see that. The first was an almond branch, and the second was a boiling pot. Jeremiah saw the visions. Then Adonai made sure that he understood it. Then Adonai told Jeremiah this, Jeremiah 1:17. "Now you, gird up your loins, get up, tell them everything that I order you. Do not be terrified by them, or else I will terrify you before them." He was to take what he was told by Adonai and saw and knew to be true and tell others, to be a witness about it. Adonai tells us the same thing. He has given us his word, the scriptures, uses the Ruach, the Spirit, and teachers to make sure that we understand it. And then he tells us to go out and let others know the truth, just as he's told us the truth, so that they would know as well. And that same model that we see established in the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, is carried forward into the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant. In John, we see the prophet, John the Immerser, was used to send out what he was shown by Adonai. We see that John the disciple wrote this about John the Immerser. So two different Johns. Going from John 1:6. There came a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through him everyone might believe. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness concerning the light. The true light, coming into the world, gives light to every man. And then just a few verses later, we're told what John does, John the Immerser does, with the word given to him to share. John testifies about him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, the one who comes after me is above me because he existed before me." John cried out. He witnessed to those around him about Yeshua, about who Yeshua was and the greatness that he was. Even before it was said by Yeshua, these words, he fulfilled them. So these words in Mark happened after John was witnessing, but still the words that John knew. Mark 16:15, Yeshua says this: "He told them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. He who believes and is immersed shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned.'" John knew what to do. The immerser knew what to do with the word about Yeshua and Adonai. He proclaimed it to those who would listen, and for those who did not, he knew that his hands were clean from their blood. So how do we do this witness thing? Well, there are three steps that we can see as a guide for us. And before I get to those three steps, let me just say this. We need to be careful how we live, because if we live a lifestyle that does not display the moral life of a believer, the moral life that we're taught in Scripture, then our witness will have no ability and no power. It won't show others the way to Adonai, regardless of what we say, if they see you doing opposite what you say. Now, the three steps that we're to take to witness are these. I'll list them and then I'll go back over them so that we can take a quick look at them. They're: hear from Adonai, believe what we hear from Adonai, and share what we hear from Adonai. So step one, hear from Adonai, because we know faith comes from hearing. We know that we need to hear from Adonai, and that faith comes from hearing from Romans 10. Starting in verse 14. "How then shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? And how should they trust in the one they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without someone proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of good things.' But not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Adonai, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. This is the basis for all witnessing. For how can you share if you don't already know it? That means that at some time you had to hear it as well. Someone witnessed to you. Perhaps you heard it from a friend. Perhaps it was just a passerby who put something in your hand, and then it got you to the book. And by reading the book, you heard the word of God, that book being Scripture, the book being the Bible. It's always going to be the first step in faith, hearing the word of God. It's the start of this cycle of faith. You hear it first. You hear it as the truth. And that moves you into the second step as a witness. Believe what we hear from Adonai. This belief is more than just acknowledging it. But believing it so much that you want to share it. That means that you're proud of the good news that you know and you want others to know it. The Apostle Paul says this about believing the word of Adonai. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by emuna. The righteous live by faith. Shaul was not ashamed of the good news because he had full trust, full faith in it to save. He knew who Adonai is, what Adonai said, and what Adonai meant. He then was able to fully and proudly proclaim the word of Adonai, the word of God, to others. We need to be in that same position. You should not say of yourself, but I'm no Shaul, I'm no apostle. You have access to the same word with the same ruach that Shaul did. The thing is, he went back to Adonai to ensure that he was saying the right thing and at the right time. This is why we go back to the word. This is why we read the word, reread the word, why we pray and pray again to make sure that we're getting it right. Some people want to put their faith in what others have told them. We all know the game of telephone. We played it probably in school where the teacher will whisper something into the first kid's ear and it gets passed along. And each time it gets passed along, it could change a little bit or sometimes a lot. What if instead each person playing telephone heard a message, and instead of starting to speak what they think they heard, went back to verify it? Not back to the same person who spoke it to them. Not back to even the first person in line. What if they went to the teacher? The one who had written it down. The one who created it. Then each one would be an accurate witness. That's what we need to do. We need to go back to Scripture. Even after I speak, I want you guys to go back to Scripture. He said this about this. Does that make sense? Did he take it out of context? Is it just to make a mistake there? And if I did, come back and correct me. Now, the third and final step is to share what we hear from Adonai, to tell others, to teach others. This should actually be easy if you're really excited by the word, by Adonai. After Peter and John were caught witnessing and being called before the Sanhedrin, this is what they said. Acts 4:19, starting there. But Peter and John replied, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you decide. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop. It's just impossible to stop speaking God's word. We've seen the truth. We know the truth. We trust the truth. And we cannot stop speaking about it. The truth was shining from them. And look at what Yeshua said during his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand, so it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice the word said. Yeshua doesn't say that he wants us to be the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. You don't have to guess if you're the light. You don't have to guess if you're a witness. You are the light. You are the witness to the world. You just have to let it out. If you've done the first step of hearing from Adonai, and if you've done the second step of believing in Adonai, then the third step is inevitable. It can't be helped. It's going to come out. Now, two final words to quickly put out there before I close. First, be strong and courageous, as we're told in Deuteronomy 31, 31:6. Shazach, be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before them. For Adonai your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. This is true for you today. Be strong, be courageous, because Adonai goes with you when you go out. When you go out to witness, he's there with you. And not only does he go out with you, he gives you the words to speak. Mark 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while dwelling with you. These are the words of Yeshua. But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. Don't worry what to say. Don't worry if your mouth and your mind is full of scripture, but I don't remember the chapter and verse. That's okay. Speak the word. I don't remember where it's from. I don't remember the full chapter. You know, I remember somewhere it says, and then paraphrase it. That's okay. I remember being told, I don't know if it's true. I don't doubt it based on the source I heard it from, that someone once got their hand on just a few pages of scripture. It was just this book that he called Palms, and just this book about a guy called Job. And he went around telling people about Job, and he went around telling people about the Palms. And what happened? He was saving people because the Spirit was there. It doesn't matter if you're perfect. It doesn't matter if you've got it all down. Now, I'm going to say, you need to read your scriptures. You need to know the word, but you don't have to worry about it just flowing out perfectly in chapter and verse. You just need to have the excitement. You just need to have the knowledge that he is true, the knowledge that he is right, and the knowledge that he is with you, and the knowledge that he wants to be with the world for salvation. That's what counts. Amen? Father, we just thank you that you've given us, first of all, you've given us the knowledge of who you are. You've given us an excitement because we believe it. We believe you are true. We believe you are right. We believe you are strong. We believe you are God. Not just a God, the only God. And we want to proclaim it to the world. We want to be your witness to the world. Ruach, give us opportunities to meet those who need to hear your word. Give us opportunities to share and witness who you are. Give us those times to come together with those who do not know you and tell them about you, just to put a little spark in their heart. Thank you that we don't have to do the work of bringing salvation to the world. You'll do it. We just have to do our part in it. We thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.